Empaths and narcissists tend to be drawn together. See, the thing is, narcissists are drawn to people who are willing to do whatever it takes to make them happy. Narcissists are drawn to people who will almost bend over backward to make sure that they have self-esteem, to hold them up on a pedestal, to do whatever it takes just to make that person feel good about themselves. Empaths, we tend to feel the feelings of other people. Feel those feelings. We tend to have huge banks of compassion ready to give to anyone who needs it. And in most cases, we really understand the way people feel, and we want to make people feel better. So narcissists, they take our kindness and they grab it and they run with it and they tie it all up in a little bow and they call it a relationship. What it really ends up becoming is narcissistic supply. This is very common. Now, why are these relationships so toxic? Well, because number one, as empaths, we also have a huge capacity to forgive people. So we forgive the narcissist when they do something to screw us over. We forgive the narcissist when they make a huge mistake, or when they cheat on us, or when they do something that just most people wouldn't forgive them for. We allow them to cross our boundaries. The closer they get to us, the lower our boundaries go. We end up becoming a shell of who we used to be when we get involved with a narcissist, especially in a close relationship. We end up becoming degraded, devalued, discarded in so many ways. We feel used up. We feel like there's not enough for us anymore, or of us. As the narcissist in our life creates more and more and more chaos, we actually become sort of addicted to it, believe it or not. We talk to friends about it sometimes, and sometimes our friends try to convince us that, you know, well, opposites attract. You guys are just different. You just have to find some common ground. We go to therapists. They tell us we're the crazy ones. They feel sorry for the narcissist to have such a clingy whatever kind of person on their arm. Narcissists have this way of fooling people outside the relationship into thinking they're just the greatest guy or girl they ever met, and they can't possibly understand why someone would not just love everything about them. They fool therapists, they fool teachers, they fool your mom sometimes. In general, narcissists are attracted to people they can take from. People who will give and give and give. Empaths, of course, are the complete opposite of that. They will give and give and give until they have no more. So while the narcissist has a huge need for admiration and attention, the empath is naturally a highly sensitive person, is naturally going to tune into the fact that the narcissist seems lacking in this area. And like I did with my ex, we try to show them that they deserve admiration. We sense their need for self-esteem. We sense their need for attention, and we do everything in our power to help them get what they need. We absorb feelings from other people really easily, and this makes us really attractive to narcissists because in general, we see them as sort of needy. They, consciously or otherwise, see us as someone who will fulfill their needs, and selflessly, which makes us even more attractive to them. While some codependents are empaths, not all empaths are codependents. In other words, they are two separate concepts that some people have mistaken for synonyms. Let me explain. To understand the difference between empaths and codependents, first we need to define empathy and codependency. So let's start with empathy. What is empathy? Well, there are three different types of empathy: cognitive, emotional, and compassionate. Emotional and compassionate empathy seem to be intrinsic for most people, and cognitive empathy can be learned. So an adult empath would be able to logically understand what a person feels. They would be emotionally affected by what they feel and also move to take action to help them deal with what they feel. For example, an empath might, at the age of 3, notice when someone is hurting and try to comfort them, even if that person doesn't say anything about it or indicate directly that something is wrong. The little child might not understand logically or might not have the vocabulary to describe what they do understand, but when they instinctively comfort someone, there's no question that they understand. At the same time, an adult narcissist who would not be considered to be an empath would be able to logically understand what you feel, but they would not be able to be emotionally affected by it for the most part, at least not in a normal way. And they would not be moved to help you deal with it unless it benefits them in some way to do so. Now let's talk about what codependency is. Codependency is when you are codependent or dependent on another person in unhealthy ways. It seems to be in most cases affected by some form of trauma that often occurred in childhood. It is considered a behavioral condition as it inhibits your ability to have a healthy and mutually satisfying relationship. A good synonym for codependency might actually be relationship addiction, because codependents tend to be perpetually involved in relationships that are one-sided, emotionally destructive, and/or abusive. The differences between codependents and empaths also really important to cover. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's discuss as empaths and codependents. We understand that empathy and codependency are different. So why do people in the narcissistic abuse recovery community so often confuse the term empath with the term codependent if they are in fact two distinct terms that aren't synonymous? The answer is as simple as it is complicated. It's because there are so many codependents who do happen to be empaths. But then there are many who are not. And of course, just consider the definition of codependency. As it turns out, toxic narcissists can also be considered codependents. Yeah, given their excessive need for attention, adoration, and narcissistic supply, they clearly need to be dependent on others for their own emotional validation. But even though they require so much of your emotional energy, they really don't have emotional or compassionate energy themselves, and so they do often emotionally neglect and abuse their so-called loved ones. Therefore, by definition, they are codependent, but they cannot be considered empaths. So what is an empath anyway? Well, if you are an empath, you're highly sensitive to the emotions and energy of the people around you. Right? Empaths tend to be very intuitive, and they might also be spiritually inclined. In other words, if you are an empath, you're someone who naturally feels the emotions of other people, and you act in accordance of that. Empaths, however, do seem to have a more natural inclination toward just understanding the psychology of both humans and animals, ironically. But are empaths rare? Well, most humans above the age of 2 or 3 have some ability to show empathy, which is, on its most basic level, simply the ability to perceive what other people feel on some level. And many animals seem to have some level of empathy as well, even for humans, as evidenced by pets who appear to show concern when their owners are feeling blue. But there are many different levels of sensitivity when it comes to empathy, and those who are at the highest end of that spectrum, they might be rare. Still, even the most basic understanding of and concern for others' feelings makes life easier for everyone, right? But are empaths real? Some people seem to think that empathy is some kind of supernatural ability. But while on some level there are things that we don't fully understand about empathy as people and in the scientific community, there is a lot of scientific research that does explain how it works. In fact, a study focused on a specific type of empathy called mirror touch synesthesia offers some very interesting insight that supports the idea that empaths exist. Mirror touch synesthesia is simply the ability to feel a sensation of touch when you see someone else being touched. Study authors Dr. Michael Banasi at the Goldsmiths University of London, along with researcher Dr. Natalie Bowling, well, they published research that found that up to 2% of the population could be considered empaths. But why do some people have more empathy than others? Well, clearly, there are some people who seem to be more personally affected by empathy than other people. For example, someone who might be considered a natural empath would have a clearer and more comprehensive intrinsic understanding of how people feel. Using this natural ability, empaths can quickly interpret a person's thoughts and feelings. The scientific studies that are often used to demonstrate that empaths exist, however, provide indirect evidence, according to Kristen Milstead in a 2018 Psych Central article. She goes on to say this includes research showing the existence of mirror neurons in the brain, which are said to enable us to read and understand each other's emotions by filtering them through our own. Other studies, she added, used to explain empaths include the concept of emotional contagion, which is the idea that when people synchronize their attitudes, behaviors, and speech, they also synchronize their emotions, both consciously and unconsciously. Now, Milstead noted that while the studies explain the existence of empathy as a concept, they didn't really make it clear as to why some people seem to have a higher sensitivity to it than other people. So for now, the idea that there is a supernatural element to being an empath isn't completely disproven, but that doesn't mean scientists won't decode it in the future, so keep your eyes open. After all, there were once people who worshiped the sun. Science has a way of explaining things we don't fully understand, is what I'm saying. So let's talk about the signs of being codependent, because if you really do want to understand the actual differences between codependents and empaths, well, it can really help to kind of see the signs of each, be aware of them, right? So while you may be both, you might also just be one or the other. But in general, people who are codependent typically have the following behaviors. Number one, they struggle to make decisions alone, especially where their decisions would affect their partner in any way. Number two, they might find themselves having a hard time identifying their own feelings. Number three, they might have a hard time communicating in their relationships, even if they're really good at communicating in other ways, and with other people. Number four, codependents are more concerned with getting the approval of people outside of themselves. Number five, codependents have low self-esteem. Number six, they may not trust trust their own instincts and intuition. Number 7, they may have an unhealthy fear of abandonment. Number 8, they may need approval to the point that they'll even go against their own ethics in order to get it. Number 9, codependents might feel overly responsible for the actions and behaviors of other people. And number 10, they are inevitably miserable if they are not in a relationship, and they'll stay in a relationship that is harmful to them because they might feel as if it's better than being alone. Does any of that sound familiar to you? Now let's talk about the signs that you're an empath. While there are no easily available scientific tests that would prove your empath abilities, there are empath self-assessments such as the one on queenbeing.com that will help you to recognize yourself as someone who might be an empath. There are, of course, both positive and negative sides of being an empath, and some of them do overlap. So number 1 is empaths can be targeted by toxic people. Empaths often deal with overwhelming feelings as it is, so when a relationship is toxic, they will feel like they are in absolute agony. They often end up going numb because they feel like they might not otherwise survive. Narcissists and other toxic people do seem to be drawn to empaths, and most likely that's because empaths are generally moved into action by the emotions of other people. So when the empath knows that you're sad or you're upset, they do whatever they can to comfort you. When someone screams and yells at an empath, they'll do whatever they can to resolve whatever the person is screaming about. You see? It doesn't occur to an empath to feel angry at someone who is so clearly distressed. That is what attracts toxic people, the fact that the empath is so focused on making sure they are comfortable and happy in any given moment. It makes for an ideal source of narcissistic supply, and since an empath is completely focused on them, they won't have to do much to keep the empath happy. See, if an empath is feeling needy and reaches out for validation, they will very quickly forget their feelings if the other person expresses strong feelings of their own in that moment. This nature of the empath leads empaths who aren't aware of these types of manipulation to miss the fact that they're actually not being nourished in the relationship. So they end up starving for validation, giving and giving until they sort of burn out, literally in some cases, through adrenal fatigue associated with CPTSD. The empath ends up drained of their so-called light. They have little energy. They literally are almost not even in there in some ways. They have grown so emotionally broken that they have literally stopped experiencing these emotions. This brings me to number 2, empaths find large crowds draining. You will not find a happy empath at a Black Friday sale. In general, empaths can only take crowds in small doses, even if at all. That's why a lot of empaths don't like large parties or concerts. And when an empath does spend too much time in crowds, most of us really need to take some time alone before and after in order to recharge. If we don't, we will feel exhausted and tired for days or weeks afterward. In fact, we might even have physical effects, which brings me to my next point, number 3, empaths need plenty of alone time. Most empaths do require a little bit of alone time to recharge, especially when we've just dealt with emotionally difficult situations, including things like crowds, but also through various interpersonal interactions with people in our lives. An empath who is also an introvert might prefer to be alone more often than not, but even empaths who appear to be more outgoing will still need that alone time, or they will become unbalanced without it. However, an introvert who isn't an empath would generally need less alone time for winding down. And in the case of codependents, whether they're empaths or not, well, they might feel they don't want to be alone at all for any reason. This is one way that an empath can manifest emotional and or psychological damage caused by their toxic relationships. That brings me to number 4, empaths feel their way around new places. See, empaths seem to feel the energy of any location where they happen to be. In a calm, clean, and organized place that is lit with candles and has soft colors, for example, well, the empath might feel calm. They might sense a relaxing and positive energy. On the flip side, if an empath walked into a room where there was a crime committed, sometimes even if they were unaware that the crime was committed there, or if they walked into a room, say, directly after a confrontation as small as a marital spat, they would feel the energy buzzing around without question. They might even ask you something like, "Hey, are you guys okay? Or should I come back later?" They might feel uncomfortable or be physically affected, but not be able to quite put their finger on why. Like, they just know something is wrong, you know?
So we know why narcissists are attracted to us. They are attracted to us because we show selflessness, because we'll do whatever it takes to make them feel good about themselves. When they have an extreme emotional reaction, we react just as swiftly to soothe it. But for us, it doesn't work out that well because we become attracted to them because we see the false self. They show us this ideal situation. They show us someone who, even though we understand they have something we can help them with, or, you know, maybe we need to help their self-esteem or whatever, we see that as them showing us their vulnerable side when they do kind of let the mask down a little bit. But what ends up happening is that it's not their vulnerable side, it's their true self that we're seeing behind the mask. By the time we finally realize that, okay, this person isn't what I signed up for, We're so far in that we don't even know the way out anymore. These relationships are incredibly toxic for empaths. Then, of course, when it comes to empaths, once we've been discarded, this time, next time, repeatedly, because it tends to run in a little cycle where you go through the idealization phase or the love bombing, and then you roll on over into devaluation around the time they realize you're human, and then you're either actually discarded and thrown out, or you end up right back in the hoovering phase where they're trying to suck you back in, and then they go right back to love bombing, and then it's a whole cycle again. So this could happen once or multiple times depending on the situation, but usually it happens multiple times throughout a relationship, sometimes for decades. Then we think every time we're discarded, oh my gosh, maybe I should have listened better. Maybe I should have cared more. Maybe I should have tried harder. Maybe they wouldn't have cheated on me if I would just wear a little lipstick now and then. Maybe they wouldn't have cheated on me if I had been whatever it was that they wanted, or if I had cooked their dinner that one time when they didn't ask me to, or whatever. What we have to realize is that it's not our fault. It had nothing to do with us. Had to do with the narcissist and their cycle. And we can see that when we watch them get into a relationship with a new supply, because they do the same thing. They wind up going after that person, love bombing that person, devaluing that person, discarding that person, sucking that person back in, and starting the whole process again. It doesn't matter if it's you or another body. It's just how their relationships are going to go, because they don't have the ability to really get to know and care about the other person in that relationship. It's almost impossible for us as empaths to even believe the possibility that other people might really not have the ability to feel empathy. Whether they have the actual ability or not is debatable, but what I have seen is that while we have proof that in some cases the part of the brain that handles empathy is thinner in narcissists, we also know that narcissists could feasibly be taught empathy. But they would have to also go through this whole process of discovering their own core wounds, working through them, and figuring it out, which of course would lead to lots and lots of actually intentional healing and therapy and things like that. And we don't see that happen. I've never seen it happen. Another interesting thing about the narcissist-empath relationship is that empaths tend to want everything to be nice and peaceful all the time. We're peacemakers. We don't want drama or conflict in our lives. Well, narcissists are the opposite of that. So what are they doing? When you're walking around trying to keep the peace, they're walking around trying to stir stuff up. And so if you go and you soothe the stuff every time, you become a great source of supply, because not only are you focused on their drama and their needs, being a good narcissistic supply, but you're also cleaning up their messes. That makes you perfect for them. Of course, we've talked before about intermittent reinforcement, where the love bombing phase pops back in crumbs throughout the relationship. So maybe in one minute you're being gaslighted up one side and down the other, and in the next minute you see the sweet person come back who once sucked you in with pure what seemed like love. They mix the nice guy, nice girl stuff in with their insults and their rudeness and their disrespect intermittently, because it leads to us falling for and staying around for any potential act of kindness they have to offer us. Their crumbs become gold to us, and in fact are the thing that keep us stuck. As empaths, we tend to understand that everybody's human, everybody makes mistakes. Well, narcissists count on that, and that's another reason we forgive them way more often than we should. We'll say to ourselves, well, I'm not perfect, so how can I expect them to be perfect? Well, you don't have to expect them to be perfect, but you should definitely expect that they won't cross your boundaries or break your deal breakers. Whatever those are. Because we tend to want to help people do better, we tend to want to help them grow, help them change. That just ends up biting us in the butt with a narcissist. This leads us to form a trauma bond, and it's almost like we end up being stuck forever if we don't intentionally choose to get out. The trauma bond is what happens during, you know, you've heard of Stockholm Syndrome. It's basically because you go through trauma, stress, upset with this person, you become bonded to them in a very unhealthy way. It's almost like a drug addiction. I know for me, when I was going through all of this, I tended to want to see myself as the problem, and I did whatever I could to try to fix myself so that I wouldn't be causing all these problems in our relationship. And I think a lot of empaths do that same thing. So if you're doing that, recognize this. One person cannot fix the relationship alone. Both people have to be involved in changing and growing together. You cannot evolve by yourself in a relationship and expect to fix all the problems. You have to be careful that if you are doing personal work, which is a great thing, in a relationship, that you're not the only person doing the personal work. That person has to do it too, or it will not work. In every relationship, there are some boundaries that you're going to have to set. Healthy boundaries for yourself and the other person. And what I mean is, for example, like in my relationship, my deal breakers are don't cheat on me, don't hit me, don't hurt my kids in any way, shape, or form. Don't abuse me in any way, shape, or form. Those are fairly reasonable and don't require a whole lot of thought if you're with a healthy person. If the person that you're with is breaking your deal breakers on the regular, my friend, you have some things to think about. You don't have to be hard-hearted. You don't have to become dead inside in order to be healthy. You just have to learn to set your boundaries and stand behind them firmly. And do not allow a person to break your boundaries and remain part of your inner circle. Just a friendly reminder from me to you. This leads me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, are you an empath in a relationship with a narcissist? And how has that worked for you in the past? How's it working for you now? Or have you already seen the light and gone away from your narcissist? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. And before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm gonna leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.